Hello, this is Sharon, and I'll be bringing you the pantograph for today, which is Wednesday, May 13th, 2020. We will begin the reading on the front page of the paper with an article entitled "Board Pretty Split on Altering Recovery Map." A plan asking the governor to create an 11-county Heart of Illinois sub-region, which could result in those 11 counties reopening sooner than the larger North Central region established by the governor last week, got mixed reviews from the McLean County Board Executive Committee on Tuesday evening. Meeting via video and audio link for 2 hours and 15 minutes, the committee voted 4-4 on whether to write a letter supporting the plan developed by the mayor of Peoria, the Peoria County Board Chairman, and the administrator of the Peoria City County Health Department. After the committee meeting, McLean County Board Chairman John McIntyre, who also chairs the committee, said he had spoken with 3 additional board members so far, and 2 were in favor of the staged implementation plan for the Heart of Illinois subregion, and 1 was opposed. "Right now it's pretty split," he said, "of board members' opinion of the plan." By the end of the week, he hopes to have spoken with all 20 board members, and if the majority favors the plan, he will bring it to a vote of the full county board next Tuesday. "If the majority are opposed to it, I won't bring it for a vote," he said. The plan calls for separating out Peoria, Tazewell, Woodford, Fulton, Marshall, Stark, McLean, Livingston, Bureau, Putnam, and LaSalle counties from the governor's North Central region, which basically includes the northwest quadrant of Illinois, with McLean County at the southeast corner. The governor's plan splits the state into 4 regions, allowing each to slowly reopen based on several factors, including COVID-19 infection rates and available hospital beds. But the detailed 16-page Heart of Illinois plan indicates that the 11-county subregion could potentially open sooner because the area benefits from high levels of medical services per capita and sufficient surge capacity to manage an increase in COVID-19 cases. The plan calls for reopening based on data, including several factors such as healthcare, hospital bed and equipment availability, testing capacity, and community engagement. "It looks like a good plan," McIntyre said after the meeting. "But again, we have 20 board members on our board. I felt it was important that our whole board speaks in unison." Committee members Josh Barnett, William Kaisley, Jim Soldner, and Catherine Metzger favored the plan. Susan Schaefer, Chuck Erickson, George Gordon, and Lori Wohlrab were opposed. Soldner said rural mayors have been looking for the information that's in the plan. But Schaefer said the governor has a lot of expertise and resources behind his plan. Wohlrab said she's in sympathy with businesses that want to reopen. "But this plan would lay an awful lot of responsibilities on our health departments," Wohlrab said. "It requires us to reinvent some of the governor's plans, and that would be time-consuming." Erickson said he submitted another plan to the county administrator, but provided no details. However, the committee unanimously supported Barnett's idea to write letters to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Illinois Department of Public Health opposing plans to close the COVID-19 drive-through testing site at the McLean County Fairgrounds at 5 p.m. on Thursday. Continued testing of people for COVID-19 will be critical to any reopening moving forward, Barnett said. We definitely do not want this testing site to go away. Earlier in the meeting, the committee unanimously approved expanding the Bloomington Normal Enterprise Zone from 14.15 square miles to 14.229 square miles to accommodate expansion of the Ferraro Candy Factory at 2501 Beck Drive, Bloomington. Bloomington Normal Economic Development Council CEO Patrick Hoban said the plant, which currently employs 300 people, could add another 50 workers. It's exciting, especially in the current economic time, to see businesses investing in Bloomington Normal and McLean County, Barnett said. In other business, the board approved ordinances abating taxes on property purchased by Rivian Automotive and Brandt Industries after learning that both businesses had met payroll obligations in project development agreements. They approved, with three members opposing, freezing the salary of the circuit clerk at $105,290 through December 31, 2024, freezing the salary of the coroner at $100,324 through 2024, lowering the salary of the auditor from $100,302 to $80,600 through 2024. Casely opposed, saying the current economic conditions eventually will improve, and he didn't want the three to be paid salaries that are out of sync. The board also unanimously approved no increase in county board members' salaries. Area could reopen in May if subregion plan adopted. McLean County residents we'll get a better idea of a proposed subregion that could allow parts of central Illinois to reopen sooner than currently expected. A presentation and news conference about the proposal will be held on Wednesday morning in Peoria. Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner, Normal Mayor Chris Coos, and McLean County Board Chairman John McIntyre participated in a discussion about the plan last week, and unnamed regional mayors are expected to be part of the Peoria session. I think it is something worth looking at, said Coos, adding a copy of the proposal is being sent to Normal council members for review. The Heart of Illinois plan proposes a reopening sooner than June 1st, said Coos. I am not saying I am or I am not in favor because I haven't had time to digest the report, and I want to see what comes from our county health department and other key stakeholders in the community. We have people who are ready to open tomorrow if they can, but we have to be cautious and safe for the community's sake. Coos favors asking Governor J.B. Pritzker to consider a subregion. Pritzker last week unveiled a five-phase plan for reopening the state. The state plan splits Illinois into four regions, allowing each to slowly open based on COVID-19 infection rates and available hospital beds. The subregion plan was prepared by Peoria Mayor Jim Artis, Peoria County Board Chairman Andrew Rand, and Peoria Public Health Administrator Monica Hendrickson, said Coos. The Normal Council is expected to discuss it on Monday. The County Board's Executive Committee talked about it Tuesday night. In the Governor's plan, McLean and Peoria counties are part of the 27-county North Central region that stretches to the Wisconsin border and includes Rockford, Moline, and Rock Island. The 11 counties in the proposed subregion are Peoria, Tazewell, Woodford, Fulton, Marshall, Stark, McLean, Livingston, Bureau, Putnam, and LaSalle. We believe we would be able to make progress more quickly than if we were in a broader region that included Rockford and some other areas that were less similar to us, Renner said Monday night. I do agree that the region that has been defined by the Heart of Illinois report is different than what is happening, say, in Rockford or Chicago, where they have a larger population and more density, said Coos. But if the county board and both councils aren't on the same page, it's not worth going forward with it, Coos added. I absolutely am in support of it, said Washington Mayor Gary Menier, who participated in last week's teleconference. I think it's time that we try to open in some fashion downstate Illinois. Tazewell County reported on Tuesday that for 3 days now, we have had no new COVID-19 cases. Our small businesses are just crippled, and we have to get some sort of plan in place, Menier added. Unfortunately, the governor seems to keep pushing the time frame out. I think we really need to do something before the end of May, and canceling the whole summer is something that we can't live with. Under the governor's plan, every region has reached the second phase, and all but the Northeast region, which includes Chicago, are on track to move to Phase 3 at the end of May, and Phase 4 at the end of June, which would include the reopening of restaurants and bars with gatherings limited to 50 people or fewer. A data-driven, sub-regional implementation will provide for a smoother transition between the phases of the Restore Illinois plan, the three Peoria officials said in a letter to Pritzker. The area covered by the plan benefits from high levels of medical services per capita, and as such has more than sufficient surge capacity to manage an increase in cases during the reopening phases. On Tuesday, Artis said the governor and his office have not provided any feedback, but Artis sees strong support from area mayors and county board chairs. The one concern I have is Peoria is in a different situation in terms of testing and contact tracing than we are, said Coos. They seem to have more capacity for that. We are going to lose our testing facility at the McLean County Fairgrounds, and we need to figure that out if we are going to move forward. Today's Flick Fact question. Where in Illinois is the Center for Dental Excellence? And the answer, this is not a joke, Flossmoor. It's a Chicago suburb. Today in history. Today is Wednesday, May 13th. It's the 134th day of 2020, and we have 232 days left in this year. Today's highlight. On May 13th, 1940, in his first speech as British Prime Minister, Winston Churchill told Parliament, "I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat." On this day in 1568, forces loyal to Mary, Queen of Scots, were defeated by troops under her half-brother and regent of Scotland, the Earl of Moray, in the Battle of Langside, thwarting Mary's attempt to regain power almost a year after she was forced to abdicate. In 1607, English colonists arrived by ship at the site of what became the Jamestown settlement in Virginia. The colonists went ashore the next day. In 1914, heavyweight boxing champion Joe Louis was born in Lafayette, Alabama. In 1916, one of Yiddish literature's most famous authors, Shalom Aleichem, died in New York at age 57. In 1917, three shepherd children reported seeing a vision of the Virgin Mary near Fatima, Portugal. It was the first of six such apparitions that the children claimed to have witnessed. In 1918, the first U.S. airmail stamp, costing 24 cents and featuring a picture of a Curtiss JN-4 biplane, was publicly issued. On some of the stamps, the Jenny was printed upside down, making them collector's items. In 1958, Vice President Richard Nixon and his wife Pat were spat upon and their limousine battered by rocks thrown by anti-U.S. demonstrators in Caracas, Venezuela. And in 1972, 118 people died after fire broke out at the Shinichi department store in Osaka, Japan. And a thought for today from Shalom Aleichem, who lived from 1859 through 1916. To want to be the cleverest of all is the biggest folly. And how time flies locally from the past pages of the Pantograph. 100 years ago today, on May 13th, 1920, IWU officials introduced the architect's concept of how the new gymnasium will look. It will be built on the site where the SATC barracks stood during the recent war. The building still stands and is the Hanson Student Center, according to IWU's website. 75 years ago, on May 13, 1945, the Army named its new hospital ship for a Bloomington man, the USAHS John J. Meany, is named in memory of Major John Meany, a former Trinity High School student killed in action in 1943. He was a surgeon and taught chemical warfare before going overseas. 50 years ago, on May 13, 1970, during the national strike by Teamsters, the Eureka Williams plant had to shut down. Those 1,200 workers are now being recalled, and factory operations will resume with the first shift next Monday. Some workers returned 2 days ago in preparation for the reopening. And 25 years ago, on May 13, 1995, several business developments, State Farm began moving its data processing operation into the new Corporate South complex. Also, the first store will open soon in the new outlet mall on the west side, and a new bakery is planned for the old Cutter's Bakery site. McLean County adds 6 cases. 6 more McLean County residents have tested positive for COVID-19, bringing to 127 the number of people from McLean County who have had confirmed cases of the novel coronavirus since March 19th. McLean County Health Department announced this latest tally on Tuesday. All 6 of the new cases are women, one in her 60s, one in her 40s, 2 in their 30s, and 2 in their 20s, said Dion McNeil, the county communications specialist. All 6 are isolating at home. Of the 127, 5 are hospitalized, 26 are isolated at home, and 93 have recovered, according to the health department. The health department reported earlier this spring that 3 people had died as a result of COVID-19. Health Department Administrator Jessica McKnight said Monday, when the department reported no new COVID positive test results, that we anticipate seeing more cases. The age range with the largest number of cases are people in their 20s. Meanwhile, 175 more people were tested on Monday at the COVID-19 drive-through testing site at the McLean County Fairgrounds, 1106 Interstate Drive, Bloomington. That brings to 4,650 the number of people who've been tested since that site opened on March 28th. The site is scheduled to close at 5 p.m. Thursday. The community-based testing site in Bloomington provided a valuable service for 45 days in McLean County, said the Illinois Department of Public Health in an email to the Pantograph on Tuesday. Unfortunately, these valuable resources are being underutilized, averaging 103 tests per day, with some days as low as 30, at a facility that is capable of administering 250 tests a day. With the opening of additional COVID-19 testing services in the Bloomington Normal area, a decision was made by the Illinois Department of Public Health in conjunction with the Illinois Emergency Management Agency to petition the federal government to relocate these services, IDPH said. A listing of other testing sites may be found at dph.illinois.gov/testing. Eligible for testing at the site is anyone with COVID-19 symptoms, fever, cough, shortness of breath, providing the person can complete the nasal self-swab test. Also eligible is anyone with a risk factor, such as having contact with someone who tested positive, or anyone with a compromised immune system or serious chronic medical condition. Also eligible are people with or without symptoms who work in a healthcare or correctional facility, are first responders, or are critical infrastructure workers in grocery stores, pharmacies, restaurants, gas stations, public utilities, factories, childcare, and sanitation. LaSalle County reported an additional case on Tuesday, bringing its count to 107. 46 people have recovered, the health department said. Statewide, the Illinois Department of Public Health reported on Tuesday 4,014 new cases of COVID-19 and 144 additional deaths, including an Iroquois County woman in her 80s, a Macon County man in his 70s, and two Sangamon County women in their 80s. Since the new strain of coronavirus hit Illinois earlier this year, 83,021 people have had confirmed cases, and 3,601 have died. Heartland entrepreneurs compete. Four Heartland Community College students will showcase their business skills with an opportunity to kickstart their own businesses this week at Elevating Entrepreneurs, a Shark Tank-like competition. The student finalists are Daniel Gibson, Cameron Hinman, Harlan Kumpferschmid, and Caitlin Scott. They each submitted a business plan, feasibility study, financial plan, and video elevator pitch to a panel of judges. The next step is to make their pitch Friday to the panel of local business owners in a virtual presentation. The panel includes Tim Rixton of Molly Maid, Justin Bellis of Bellis Landscaping and Little Beaver Brewery, Melissa Larson of Mad Strategy, and Donnie Bounds of Donnie B's Gourmet Popcorn, joined by banker and tax strategist Gary Bressner. All of them are Heartland alumni. Heartland accounting instructor Paul Kelson said the event was created to showcase students in Heartland's Small Business Management Certificate Program and to promote entrepreneurs on campus. All full-time and part-time Heartland Community College students are eligible to participate. The first and second place winners receive $2,000 and $1,000, respectively. The virtual event will run from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Friday and is open to public viewing. You can see this event by going to heartland.edu/elevating. Bloomington Normal traffic stop leads to drug and gun charges. Two women were arrested after drugs and defaced firearms were seized in a traffic stop, police said. The pair were arrested about 12:15 a.m. Sunday near Maple Hill Road and Wiley Drive. They were formally charged Monday afternoon. Grace E. Taylor, 19, of Fairbury, is charged with unlawful delivery of less than 5 grams of methamphetamine, unlawful possession of less than 5 grams of meth, unlawful possession of a firearm with a defaced serial number, manufacture delivery of 30 to 500 grams of cannabis, unlawful possession of 100 to 500 grams of cannabis, unlawful possession of less than 15 grams of cocaine, unlawful possession of a firearm without a valid firearm owner's identification card, and unlawful possession of ammunition without a valid firearm owner's identification card. Abigail M. Wingler, 19, of New Orleans, is charged with unlawful possession of less than 15 grams of cocaine. Taylor was released on $20,000 personal recognizance bond. Wingler was released on $10,000 personal recognizance bond. Crime Stoppers, man wanted for burglary. Bloomington Crime Stoppers of McLean County needs the public's help in finding a person who's wanted for felony charges. Kenneth E. Funk, 24, is 5 feet 7 inches tall and weighs 140 pounds. He has blonde hair and green eyes. His last known address is in Bloomington, Illinois. Funk is wanted for residential burglary. Crime Stoppers will pay cash rewards of up to $1,000 for information leading to the arrest and indictment of people who commit felony crimes in McLean County. To contact Crime Stoppers, call 309-828-1111. We will take a short break now, and then I'll return with the second half of the Pantograph for May 13th, 2020. Please stay tuned.